already.
2 hours.
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey everybody, how you doing? What? It's me, Jay Leno. Just kidding.
I can't. Did you have a helium balloon stashed somewhere? What just happened?
I thought you were just happy to see
us. Yeah, that was a good voice.
About it. Yeah, talking about the headlines coming up.
That's like one of the
coming up on the show, and we're going to talk about some stuff in Florida. And
really
what
weird.
The listeners can't see is that his jaw is literally like four times the size of what it was.
It grew. It's a tumor.
Just to do the impression.
It's not a tumor.
It's why you do it there. Anyway. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about some dangerous cities. Ooh.
Florida.
Wait, that's not a city.
Carlos well, dangerous?
Not that type of danger. We'll talk a little about the Emmy nominations. Not too much. We're not going to go through the whole list because we only have an hour or so to do the show. And the person who brought a whole new meaning to the term, get off my lawn.
Oh,
get off
no.
my lawn.
Yeah.
The worst.
Kids.
Get off my lawn, you. Ch-ch. I just want to sage, get off my lawn. Wouldn't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're going? I don't know.
It was not. I was going nowhere.
Oh, okay. I was thinking to Sling Blade.
Got any French fried taters? Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I want
remember
fries.
Nothing of that movie except like the liners from it that keep and crying like a wee wee baby.
I cried watching Sling Blade. That movie
is just. I don't remember. I don't even remember anything about it other than it was like.
In a good way, right?
I don't know anymore.
No,
I don't know.
The movie is. Have you seen the movie?
Oh yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, it's so fantastic, and it's just. You reach a point in it where it's just so emotionally wrenching
yeah.
that you sort of feel that way. If you haven't seen Sling Blade, see Sling Blade. I think it's on Netflix. It may not be. Find Sling Blade. It's not that hard. Before we get going with the show, Bill Belichick came out and finally addressed the whole Aaron Hernandez arrest for murder thing, and the Boston media... Mike Lynch from WCVB, Boston's news leader, was there with all the details.
It was given to him by the Patriots. So they took him at his word. And here comes Bill Belichick now. He's wearing a visor. He's wearing a cutoff windbreaker. He has shorts on. He has a piece of paper in his hand, which I've never seen before. He just took his visor off and handed it to Bears Najarian. He's brushing his hair back. And this is a walk, and this is at a press conference. I'm sure he's not looking forward to it all. But it looks like there's at least a couple of pieces of paper here, and it appears that he'll be making a statement. Let's join Bill Belichick right now.
Sorry, what kind of windbreaker?
Okay, I'm going to address the situation involving Aaron Hernandez today.
So there you go.
that's
some in-depth coverage you don't get. He was wearing a visor, but he took it off and fixed his hair.
You know what, though? I bet the visually impaired viewers really appreciated that.
Well, everyone was visually impaired because it was off camera.
But then he came on camera.
Yeah, now you know.
Nobody
oh, why does his hair look like that? Oh, yeah, that's why.
So, yeah.
It's all good.
Boy, that is me.
I love it when people get fully into stuff. While we're on football, some teams had training camp open this past week, including the Redskins. They are in Richmond, Virginia. And this one fan went, and she did not have a good time.
I just spent a whole day at the Redskins training camp for nothing. I've been there since 6:30 this morning. It's like 12 o'clock. And all I wanted was an autograph. I couldn't even get that. No players even came to where I was standing. I'm so disappointed in the Redskins right now.
Aww.
I've been a fan my whole life.
Wow.
I didn't even care what player autograph I got. I just wanted one.
Oh, that's really
sad. I took off work for this and everything.
That's heartbreaking.
I'm so heartbroken right now.
Told you.
I can't believe the Redskins would do this.
Okay, she looks to be about 30 years old, and she has a job, and she's recording this in her own car and posted it herself.
She has her own car.
I can't believe that. Why? I've been here since 6:30 this morning.
Why do you post this after you do it?
I didn't even care.
It's raw emotion.
I just wanted one.
Do you think she's...
she wants him to send her free stuff?
And now she's repeating herself.
Do you think if she does, she's thinking if I do this, the Redskins will...
Oh my God!
Oh, hold on.
They came over to their side. No players at all even came to the side. I was ordered. I was right in the front. I'm so disappointed. Do not come to the Redskins training camp. I repeat, do not come to the Redskins training camp. It's a waste of time.
Right.
You won't get an autograph. You won't. You'll just wind up wasting your time. I took off work and everything for this.
Wow.
I can't believe that the Redskins would do their fans like this.
Okay, make it stop.
She's done.
There's... So, like... that was an emotional roller coaster because at first I felt really bad for her.
Right.
Then you said she posted it, and then I started to feel a little weird, and then it just got ridiculous.
Not only did she post it, she took the video herself and posted it as a warning to everybody else. Although I would postulate you can go and look for someone like her and just stand on the other side, and you'll be fine. You'll get autographs. It'll be great.
She needs to learn detachment. Don't expect an outcome.
You know, if this would have been a 12-year-old in this video, I wouldn't have even played it because that's a 12-year-old. That's a kid.
What if it's like all she has in life, though, you guys?
She has a job and a car and a
camera phone.
But wait.
And a YouTube account.
I don't know.
Sometimes love just ain't enough.
Like, I don't know a lot about sports, but what happens at training camp? I mean, did she get to watch them practice?
Yes.
And so she had a full day of enjoying sports and the team, right?
Right.
I mean, the autographs just would have been sort of the cherry on the sundae.
Right. I've never stood in line for autographs from a player. I just haven't done that. And that's the whole thing. In training camp, you do get a little bit more access. But they don't have to go over and do that. They're there. The guys that are there are trying to earn a spot on the team, most of them. They're more concerned with getting their work in. They're at work. They're not just, yes, it's for your enjoyment, but they're at work. So I just play because it was
a football
thing.
You know, devil's advocate here. They're fucking there to entertain us. Okay.
Right.
That's the entire raison d'etre for all professional athletes. Therefore, you do have to put out for the fans a little bit.
And they did, just not the ones near where she was. And here's the thing. If you see players going to the other side, move over there. Go to where the food is, lady. It's not their fault you're dumb.
I took off of work for this.
Wow.
I repeat, do not.
That's the best
That
part.
Was the part that made me laugh.
Red alert.
The whole thing made Ted and I laugh, and we're terrible for it, but we're right.
I felt bad, but I was, after a while, I was like, this is just too over the top.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's comical.
Yeah. So
she had me, and then she lost me.
So on last week's show, we played Ray Don Chong.
Oh.
Talking about Oprah, saying that she would have, amongst other things, been a field N-word back in slave days.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Chong is now defending his daughter, Ray Don, telling TMZ that she was just being honest when she said that Oprah would have been a field N-word back in the days, because that's the way the things were. To quote Tommy, he says, if you think of what Ray said, she said back in the day Oprah would be working in the field because she's not that beautiful, whereas if you're beautiful, you're part of the master's bedroom. Tommy then continued, knowing Oprah, she would probably read Ray's comments and just chuckle and probably agree with Ray Don. She'd probably be working in the field.
So he called Oprah ugly? Or she called Oprah ugly?
But there's more. He also says he doesn't think Oprah would have stayed in the field during slave times because she would have used her charm and intelligence to become a house lady.
Oh, God. Sorry. That's
this
so horrible.
This is so awful, this ongoing conversation of what Oprah would have done if she was born a slave.
And even though Ray called Oprah fat and ugly and a brown noser, Tommy still thinks there's a chance that they could work together in the future.
Yeah. He didn't smoke a lot of pot, right? Is that the Chong we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the same Tommy Chong.
Okay.
Well, then
I think we know all we need to know.
I would have played the audio, but it took 3 minutes to do what I just did in 30 seconds. So I said, you know what? No, let's move on with our day.
Horrible.
Something that's getting a lot of attention lately. There's a new book out about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. It's by a religious scholar, Reza Aslan, and he recently went on Fox News to...
It's foxnews.com. I will say it's a different outlet because I think we should know which one to hate in a particular moment. Apparently didn't air on television.
Okay. But either way, it's the same. It's the same.
Oh,
idea.
Same evil empire.
Evil outlet.
It's the same idea. So this is the interview, and it's 10 minutes. We're not going to play the full 10 minutes. You'll get the idea in the first minute or so.
Reza Aslan was a Christian, but converted back to the faith of his forefathers. It's Islam. He has now written a book about Jesus. The book has become controversial as it calls into question some of the core tenets of Christianity. The book is called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. And Reza joins me now from Los Angeles. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is an interesting book. Now, I want to clarify, you're a Muslim, so why did you write a book about the founder of Christianity?
Well, to be clear, I am a scholar of religions with 4 degrees, including one in the New Testament and fluency in Biblical Greek, who has been studying the origins of Christianity for 2 decades, who also just happens to be a Muslim. So it's not that I'm just some Muslim writing about Jesus. I am an expert with a PhD in the history of religions. But I have been obsessed
with
Jesus.
Though. It still begs the question, why would you be interested in the founder of Christianity?
Because it's my job as an academic. I am a professor of religion, including the New Testament.
You idiot.
That's what I do for a living, actually.
Jesus
so,
also
I mean,
is
it,
in the
it would
Quran.
Be like asking yeah. a Christian why they would write a book about, Islam. I'm not sure about that. But in mm-hmm. honestly, I've been obsessed with Jesus for really 20 years. I've been studying his life and his work and the origins of Christianity. Both in an academic environment and in a personal level for about 2 decades. And just to be clear, this is not some attack on Christianity. My mother is a Christian. My wife is a Christian. My brother-in-law is an evangelical pastor. Mm-hmm. Anyone who thinks that this book is an attack on Christianity has not read it yet.
Okay, so you think, okay, he's made his point. She asked the question. He made his point. You think it's over?
Oh, hell no.
No. Well,
but I want to read you some quotes from some people who are criticizing you.
Some
one from
people.
John Dickerson, who has written an op-ed
on another Fox outlet.
Says,
John Dickerson has written.
It's not a historian's report on Jesus. Is it an educated Muslim's opinion about Jesus? He says its conclusions are long-held Islamic claims, namely that Jesus was a zealous prophet type who didn't claim to be God.
Well, that's actually not what Islam claims about Jesus. My book about Jesus overturns pretty much everything that Islam also thinks about Jesus as well. And to be clear, I just want to emphasize this one more time. I am a historian. I am a PhD in
Nobody
the
cares,
history
bro.
Of
Nobody
religion.
Cares.
But mm-hmm. you're a Muslim.
Okay, so we're 2.5
Is that
minutes.
Even possible?
They're 2.5 minutes in. They have not said one word about the actual book yet. It's about attacking him for writing a book about Jesus.
Right. Only because he
is Muslim.
Is Muslim and therefore
can't
can
be
do
a historian.
It? Yeah.
Can't research something.
Can't write anything about
can't
anything.
Be...
And if that were true, then there couldn't. I just think of the most publications in the world written by men about women and wonder how.
Or white men about
everything.
Non-white men. Or rich men about poor men. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hate this so much. It makes me so mad on so many levels. I mean, this dude who's a pastor who has a degree in journalism and won an award in journalism wrote this ridiculous op-ed about a Muslim can't write about Christianity any more than a Democrat can write about a Republican. And this guy's a journalist and he has a degree. And then Fox News quotes a source some people are saying, yeah, the guy that you pay to write this hit piece mm-hmm. about this dude. It's such bullshit.
What I love is that the most of the I saw a video clip that went up just through about this, and if you go to the Slate piece on it, and it has the entire interaction, and he talks about she's like, well, what are your conclusions? And his conclusions I thought are very interesting, make me want to read the book.
Me too.
And they do not in any way seem to undermine Christianity, because he talks about how I think he said that in the Muslim faith, they don't believe that Christ was crucified, which is a kind of a big part of Christianity.
Yeah, kind of a big part.
Like
yeah.
the
yeah.
biggest part. And so, and that they, in historically in those times, that was a punishment reserved for people who committed crimes against the state. And so it's evidence of like what a powerful figure he was and how controversial, and that the Jesus's religious views threatened the state and they were that big a deal, which to me all seems pretty much in keeping with the faith if he was a big deal. So,
yep.
you know, whatever. But that's not the point. And that's not why they had the guy on, and they don't care. And as long as we can make sure that there's an other in the country to hate, then Fox News will be happy.
Yeah. I just wish there was some, like, just the tiniest bit of understanding about Islam, which I only have the tiniest bit of understanding about Islam, but
that's
I know
all it takes.
That, you know, I've read most of the Quran, and, you know, Jesus is...
I think that puts you ahead of probably most people.
And Jesus is a prophet in the Quran. He's respected and revered, so is Mary. He's actually mentioned more than the prophet Muhammad in the Quran, you know, and... The Islamic faith considers Christians and Jews to be people of the book. We all come from the same tradition, from the same forefathers of Abraham. And I don't know. It's like Islam is not fighting you about Jesus. You know, they really like him, you know, at least the traditional Quran. I don't know. But there's just no. This was an opportunity for interfaith discussion. And it just couldn't get off the ground at all. And I actually really admire Reza Aslan's professionalism and patience. This interview went on for 10 minutes and it's only around minute 7 or 8 that he finally kind of gets to talk about what you were saying, Christiana, some of his conclusions about the book. And he's immediately interrupted for this tweet that came in that she's like, we have to get this tweet in before the end of the broadcast. Like, she specifically interrupts him and says, we have to do this tweet. And it's just a tweet from a random viewer saying,
like, you're an asshole, hates Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is that?
It's just like a totally stupid tweet from a viewer that's like, this guy shouldn't have written a book. And she's like, oh, stop what you're saying. I need to get this important tweet in. And I feel like that is the internet in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody,
well, and there's like so, I think I don't
nutshell.
Remember if it was the Slate article or a different one that says that the organized response to his book and hating it is to encourage people to go to Amazon to leave him like 1-star reviews and say that it's like terrible, dangerous, it hates Jesus, he hates Jesus, down with Muslims. And
wait a minute, are you saying this book's available on Amazon.com? Sorry.
Yeah,
it is. And if you want to read it, you probably should visit Nate Darling Show, click on our link, and then go and check this book out on your Kindle or hard copy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
hit
the shop Amazon tab.
Sorry.
But
off topic.
No, oh my God, I just realized we didn't do that in the last show, did we?
Yeah, we did.
No, we did. Don't worry.
Oh, twice.
Twice. You were sleeping.
I think you were blowing your nose.
Oh, that totally. That's
entirely
likely.
It's entirely possible.
Highly likely.
But on the other side of this, he comes out of this looking above the situation, and this sort of thing got that book way more publicity than if he had just gone on a regular publicity tour. Here's my book about Jesus.
He is evil and devious.
Right, and there's another article on Slate saying he knew exactly what he was getting into.
Yeah,
and
he's a smart dude.
Of course
he did.
Of course, he knows going on Fox News it's not going to be a puff piece, but he also knows it's going to blow up on the internet in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise.
In the grand scheme, it's still very sad to see our lesser angels highlighted for us as a culture.
Our lesser angels.
That's pretty deep.
That's a sweet way of
putting
it.
By the way, let me
or our greater demons.
Let me summarize. let me summarize. I have a recording of Ted's inner voice as he was angry about Fox News.
I will massacre you.
Yeah.
I will fuck you up.
It's true.
That's what I was hearing.
We're angry people on the inside, but once it comes time to throw down, you know what happens.
That's right. It does.
Segway.
I'm not going to play that.
Oh, what?
Well, come on. That was like the first time it should
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
Thank you.
You're
there
welcome.
It is.
Give you the perfect segue.
I know
I was being a dick. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That whole, well, no, forget it. It just makes me sad. The whole thing makes me sad, and I want Fox News to go away.
In happier religious news, during his transatlantic flight home from a hugely successful week-long trip to Brazil, Pope Francis ambled back to the press section of the papal plane for what turned into a wide-ranging conversation with reporters, with few, if any, subjects deemed out of bounds. Not since John Paul II, prior to his illness, has a pope engaged in such a freewheeling and spontaneous exchange with the press.
Awesome.
That's according to the National Catholic Reporter's John L. Allen Jr. Here's some of the highlights of it. Pope Francis reached out to gays on Monday saying he wouldn't judge priests for their sexual orientation. He said, quote,
if they're not supposed to do
if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? His predecessor, Pope Benedict, signed a document in 2005 that said men with deep-rooted homosexual tendencies should not be priests. Francis was much more conciliatory, saying gay clergymen should be forgiven and their sins forgotten. The longer version, this is a slightly different translation. When I meet a gay person, I have to distinguish between their being gay and their being part of a lobby. If they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge them? They shouldn't be marginalized. The tendency to homosexuality is not the problem. They're our brothers. And yay. your point is absolutely right. If you're a gay priest, what difference does it make?
You've made a vow. Doing the nasty anyway.
You've made a vow of celibacy.
You're
so
a heterosexual priest. If you're practicing, you're
right.
in trouble there
you're,
too.
As a priest, you're expected to be asexual. You've taken a vow of celibacy.
I have this in my mind though. The mental response. He's like, "Who am I to judge?" And I imagine like Lutheran ministers ever going like, "Well, we'll do it." Well, that's. There's a lot of people.
Did you see the Onion had a story today that was like Vatican scrambles to cover after
yes.
Pope issues non-judgmental comments, you know, like damage control, you know, it was great.
We apologize for those who were not offended by his words.
So now in a completely, we'll go from the, there is no other show on earth that will go from the Pope to this. Nick Gilronen must have some big, you know, what's the 27-year-old UPS workers. Won Brooklyn's smallest penis contest and said he's proud of his puny package. Mm-hmm. Says, and I quote, "The size of a man's penis does not matter for who he is as a person or in a relationship." That's what he told the Gothamist after his victory on Saturday at Kings County Bar. Gilronen told the website that he wanted to, quote, "put on a good show for the audience. Looks like my efforts were successful."
Good job.
According to the New York Post, a crowd of about 100 watched New York City native match members with five other contestants, including a 55-year-old from Minnesota who called himself Rip Van Dinkle.
Ah.
The competition included a swimwear round of skimpy mesh mankinis and a Q&A. He was proclaimed the champ and the recipient of $200 as someone sang Elton John's Tiny Dancer. He says, "I'm hoping this will look brave to guys who have self-esteem issues and make them feel better about themselves." In a previous Huffington Post report, one of the event's promoters dubbed the contest as, quote, "a pageant for confident people with a sense of humor and tiny penises." his triumph perhaps illustrates that size does indeed matter, at least when it comes to self-esteem. So, yeah.
So I actually suggested this story, and
because it is a feel good story,
it is a feel good story. And that guy, his talent was stand up comedy, which I thought was kind of charming. And but the first piece that I read about this was not, his name wasn't really out yet. And it was more reporters were just reviewing the experience of being in the bar watching this. And I read a long piece on Jezebel.
Not too long a piece.
No, it really was actually very long and descriptive. But you know, there were six people in this contest, and she was saying that, I think it was a woman writing the article, was saying that it was actually kind of sad and disturbing because I guess three of the contestants competed in masks, and four of them got like terribly drunk, like to the point where everybody was just kind of worried for them. Mm. And it seemed like they were just really worried and regretting participating. And the two guys that didn't and just kind of were like, "Hey, I'm here and this is me and let's have fun with this." Like the crowd loved them.
This is me and my microphallus.
Yeah. And I don't know, reading the whole review of it just made me realize like what pressure guys are under and how like you have to, I don't know, that you would wear masks and still, even though people can't see who you are, get like super drunk and just be so worried. And I don't know. I was just thinking about what pressure guys are under to be a certain way. And
you women are so lucky you don't have to worry about this.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we have pressure a different way.
Are these growers
joke,
or showers, yeah, though, is my question. I mean, did they take them backstage and really figure it out? Because in a relaxed state, the penis can be super, super tiny, especially if they're not circumcised or something. They can.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Back in my younger days, there would be like, you would get the occasional drunk girl and go, "How big is it?" And I would say, "It varies." Or that depends entirely on you.
Ooh, good answer.
But I don't know, like Ted and I were talking about this, about how in general, like when...
Stop.
No, we were. No, we were talking about these articles. Because
while having sex and checking our email.
No.
I'm sorry, it's a joke. I'll stop.
It was not a sexy experience. It was just, I had just read the article and we were talking about this story. And we were talking about how women get judged on outward appearance a lot and like size of body proportion and, you know, but men can kind of, I don't know, you said it better. Like,
well, I think it's, I mean, with, you know, you're dating a woman and, you know, she, I feel like, you know, you pretty much see what's there more or less, at least in terms of curves that we're talking about.
Physically
right. Yeah. But for the guys, like, you know, you don't know if you have a hang up about your wang and you're just maybe worried until the very minute when your pants hit the floor and just can make it a very awkward and difficult situation for you, I guess. It could be intimidating, I imagine.
It really is how you use it, too, though.
Well, I agree.
Or
but
all of your assets. I mean, you can make up for deficiencies in other ways.
Oh, no. Yeah, same with the breast size. It's all the same. But there's just such, this whole notion of physical shame is an issue that affects men and women, I guess. And shockingly, true.
Everybody can be insecure about themselves and their way they look and whatever about themselves, and it's not necessarily a gender thing. Yeah, there is more pressure on women from a societal standpoint, and a lot of it is women put it on themselves too. Guys don't put the same types of pressures as a whole as women put on themselves, and I know it's there's a lot of external pressures too, but guys aren't necessarily wired in the same way as a large group. Some guys are super sensitive about it, and other guys aren't. But yeah, congratulations, you've won $200 mm-hmm. for your tiny penis.
And I think the esteem of many people on the internet who I saw a lot of interviews go up with him. I think it's refreshing to hear someone this confident about their body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, usually when guys are really confident about their penis, it's mm-hmm. because it's huge.
Right.
Well, that can be a problem in itself too. Yeah.
Well, one could argue it's the right tool for the right job.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. Tool. All right. First up in cooler tool, Tommy Chong for defending his daughter. Becca, what say you?
I guess it's cool to defend your daughter, but the whole discussion is so tool that I really have to go with tool.
Ted?
I'm good. Actually, yeah. The fact that you stand up for your daughter, even though you sound like a doofus doing it, I give you props for trying to go to bat for her.
Christiana?
Tool.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same argument I had for Kris Jenner last week. I want Tommy Chong in my corner. You know, honestly, if I could have two parents in my corner backing up anything that I did or said, I would want them to be Kris Jenner and Tommy Chong.
Your dream parents, the dream couple, right there.
No offense, Dad, if you're listening, but my dream parents are Kris Jenner and Tommy Chong, because no matter what you do, they're always going to make an excuse for you.
Yay.
If your mom was Kris Jenner, then we'd be watching Keeping Up with the Nate Darlings right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Keeping Up with the Darlings.
We'd probably all be getting paid for this, too. So.
That's true. We would be.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Hmm. You know, we could be getting paid if more people shopped Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com.
They should go get Zealot.
Mm. And dildos.
Whatever you like.
Yeah.
Condoms, dildos.
Anything.
French ticklers.
They deliver a
religious
lot of stuff.
Texts.
Mm-hmm. Food. Yeah. The Race of Islam book. Whatever you like.
You could buy that book for me since people are buying me things. because it was, I went to go, reserve it from the library today. There's 140 holds on it already.
The library.
Aww.
I go to the library every week.
I'm not saying you don't.
Reading is so quaint.
No, the library is so quaint.
No, also reading.
It's where
you
homeless people
just give
people
up reading. You don't have to go there at all.
In Carmichael. There's no homeless people at the library in Carmichael. It's all moms and kids.
Oh, fair point.
And Becca.
Up next in Cooler Tool, the Tiny Penis Man for being proud of his tiny penis. Christiana.
Well, it's hard for me to pass up a literal tool joke, but I guess I'll go with cool. Aww. I don't know. You know what? No, I don't actually. The whole story makes me sad. The competition makes me sad, and I don't like that kind of self-deprecating source of humor and such either. And I guess if he's truly accepting and happy, then cool, but overall,
Ted?
Cool. Cool.
Becca?
Cool.
You know, I'm never down with a dude whipping out his schlong in public, so I'm going tool.
Wow.
That's right. I don't care how proud you are of it, whether it's a 2 inches or 2 feet, keep it in your pants, pal. And finally, or less than 2 inches, I don't know. And finally, in cooler tool, the Washington Redskins. Ted.
I don't give a they're fine, they're cool, whatever. I don't care they don't come give some sobbing lady an autograph.
Becca?
Cool, I guess. I don't know.
Christiana.
Oh, the skins are fine. Cool.
No, they're tool. They're the Redskins, for fuck's sake. Change your name. You're offensive to everybody.
Call me Alejandro Dynamite.
It's a trick question. You all failed.
Well,
you all failed.
None of us care about football.
It's not about football, Ted. Their name is the Redskins.
Oh, it's a penis joke.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Subtle, but I get it now.
It's a chafing joke.
Zip. There, that was my zip sound. But there we go.
There you go.
Thanks.
It's true.
Becca.
You know, a lot of things happened in Virginia this week. We had the sad lady who went to Redskins camp. We also have a Virginia couple who took their 5 children on an outing at Bays Mountain Park. They were greeted with gunfire shortly after crossing the county line in an attempt to take a scenic route home.
God.
Oscar Scott of Rose Hill, Virginia, told the Times News that he and his family decided to explore a scenic way back into Virginia through Hawkins and Hancock counties. Almost immediately after crossing the county line, however, they came upon Bays Mountain Road, which runs adjacent to the county line. He said, "We came around the side of the mountain and saw a road that turned to the right that says Bays Mountain Road. We figured we'd take
it." Was it Bays Mountain Road?
We'd see if it came out at Bays Mountain Park. We got pretty far down the road, and you could see where it turned into an old log road. So I put the vehicle in reverse to turn around. Just as soon as I got it into reverse, she started shooting at us.
Oh, God. Why?
He said the woman sitting on her porch about 150 feet from the road fired 2 shots at the 99 Chevy Tahoe he was driving. One shot actually hit the running board on the passenger side just a few feet from where his children, his 5 children, ages 4 through 12, were seated. The alleged shooter was identified as Margie Ray Ramey, 72, of Bays Mountain Road in Rogersville. Scott reported the shooting to the sheriff's office, and a sergeant responded to the scene. During a field interview, Mrs. Ramsey openly admitted to shooting her rifle towards the vehicle because she has had a continuous problem with people tearing up her driveway.
Well, fair enough.
Well, that's one way to solve it.
He said he hadn't even begun to back into her driveway when Ramey fired.
That's really the point here. A 22 where he was in the turn.
It is. A 22 caliber rifle. He said he had no choice but to use her driveway to turn around because the road is so narrow. And I think that's where the problem really lies.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The city's fault. It's the goddamn government again.
Oh.
It is.
I blame Obama.
Part of me is...
If Obama had succeeded in taking her gun, as he wants to do, how would she have defended herself?
It's true. She could not have... And her driveway.
And her driveway.
Her driveway. And
defensive driveways is one of the justifications for use of deadly force.
Protect your ground.
So, stand your ground. Yeah,
like literally,
yeah.
Literally protect your ground.
Stand your driveway. Stand your driveway.
I was scared they're going to mess up my lawn.
Yeah, and
I feared for the life of my lawn.
Well,
okay.
and at 72 years young, I mean,
jeez,
you got to admire how sprightly she is.
That wow, that's crazy.
I'm
shotgun.
I'm picturing, you know, you're sitting. I mean, this is out of the old South. You're out on your porch. You got your probably got some lemonade there in a pitcher that you made fresh. You got your rifle just waiting for strangers to come around.
Mm-hmm. I know. I picture her in a rocker with the shotgun across her lap.
Oh, either that or one of those porch swings. I'm thinking porch swing.
Okay.
Porch swing with the lemonade there, mm-hmm. with the ice cubes in it.
I don't think it was lemonade.
Yeah, it was a moonshine.
Yeah.
Could be.
From the bathtub to the mug. And.
All right. So speaking of gunfire, we have the most dangerous cities. And these are by crime rate. I don't believe Sacramento made the list.
Yay.
I don't think it did.
Oh, but if you read the community association listserv of my neighborhood, it should have. Because the scavengers are back, and they're still taking the recycling, and I can't believe recycling is only every other week now. And oh my God.
Oh my God is right.
And I posted something that said, I think we live in a wonderful neighborhood, and we're kind of lucky that the biggest problem we have is blah, blah, blah. And like 2 other dudes were like, oh, well, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you should probably read the crime things. And I'll be like, bitches, I do. None of that shit happens anywhere near where we live. It happens on the other side of the freeway.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, settle down. anybody care to guess the most dangerous city in California?
Stockton.
It is not Stockton.
L.A.?
Oakland.
Oakland is the most dangerous city in California.
Yeah.
Ranks 13th on the list. Stockton is the next most dangerous city in California. It ranks 28th.
Who's number one?
I'll get to that in just a second.
Oh.
Some of the interesting things that I found on this were there are some like Canton, Ohio came in at 62. I've been to Canton. It doesn't seem like a super crimey area. That came in ahead of Compton.
Wow.
Canton, Ohio, more dangerous than Compton.
Wow.
Well, Compton's really small. And
most
of their crime has been committed by the city council.
Oh, there you go.
So
just going through these, Chicago ranks 79th. Poughkeepsie, New York, ranked 82nd.
That's just because people get so mad because they can't spell where they live.
Charleston, West Virginia, 83rd.
I love Charleston.
But
I love you, West Virginia.
Some other Some other notable towns where there's Little Rock, Arkansas was 24th, Atlanta 26th. Let's do the top 10, shall we?
Yes.
Number 10, Inkster, Michigan.
What?
Exactly.
Oh, Inkster.
Inkster, Michigan. Let me find some music for this that'll be appropriate.
Sorry, is it not Benny Hill?
No.
Sopranos?
Number 9, Newburgh, New York.
Is this triumphant music?
It is.
Okay.
Number 8, the 8th most dangerous city, St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri.
Number 7, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Number 6, a little lower than I thought, Detroit, Michigan.
Ah, Detroit.
That's because everybody's leaving it. There's no one left to commit crimes anymore.
Number 5, Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan.
Mm. Number 4, West Memphis, Arkansas.
What?
Yeah, it's not a nice place. Memphis finished 22nd, by the way. So those are across the river from each other. Number 3, Flint, Michigan. The 2nd most dangerous city in the United States, Camden, New Jersey. And the most dangerous city in the United States, East St. Louis, woo! Illinois.
Really?
Congratulations.
I'm so surprised. On what metrics?
Yeah, what were they? What were
like
those based
murder,
on?
Murder, like just crime, like petty theft.
Yeah, what was the criteria? Is that too much information?
They are cities in America with over 25,000 people based on the number of violent crimes per 1,000 residents. Violent crimes include murder, forcible rape, armed robbery, and aggravated assault. Data views for the research are, number 1, the number of violent crimes reported to the FBI to have occurred in each city, and 2, the population of each city. So,
forcible rape.
Forcible rape.
What's the...
permissive rape. Still
well,
fine.
That would be a, that forcible rape as opposed to date rape.
Or...
which is also forcible, but can start out consensual.
I think we can just, we can just say we've got some problems with definitions of rape laws. This is a side story. Tangent. Yeah. Let's move on to the Emmys.
Yeah, it's time for the Emmys.
Because I have a lot to say about the outstanding hairstyling for single camera versus multi-camera.
Yay.
And I think it's time we talk about it.
Let's start with the outstanding drama series nominees.
Drama.
Breaking Bad was nominated.
Love it.
Rob is hooked. That jerk started watching a show without me. Now he's like almost in the first season. He's like, I can't stop. It's so good.
It's so good.
Once you're hooked, you can't stop it. Downton Abbey is also nominated.
I like Downton Abbey.
But shenanigans because Downton Abbey and American Horror Story should get benched for being fast and loose, because Downton Abbey, when it first came on, was in the miniseries category, and then it decided it had the cojones to go straight for the full drama, while American Horror Story, which is a regular series, now goes into the miniseries so it can win more awards, and I think that's shady.
So Breaking Bad's on AMC, Downton Abbey PBS, Game of Thrones on HBO.
Oh, love it.
Too.
Homeland on Showtime.
Never seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Homeland's very, very good.
I heard the first season was great, but I heard the other second season was not great.
Second season was very good. Third season's coming in September. Mad Men, also on AMC, was nominated. And this was the surprise of the group. House of Cards.
Oh.
Never actually on television.
On Netflix. On Netflix. So Netflix starting to get some. And House of Cards, I think I'm like 6 or 7 episodes in.
It's entertaining.
House of Cards is very good.
Because
it's
I know it's going to be there. Unlike the stuff that's been on my DVR where I'm like, I really should watch this. I know House of Cards is going to be there. So I haven't finished that yet.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It got a lot of nominations, including that. So no broadcast stations, except for PBS.
They had to do
no. It's television.
I thought it, but it's not okay. But I mean, literally, the definition of like the word television, it was not on.
Well,
it's episodic story, right. Episodic narrative storytelling. I don't have a problem with being nominated. I think it's a great show, and like it should be. I didn't know that was okay. I thought maybe they would have to just show like a sample of it. You know, like movies, they bring it out for special engagement like one day before the nominations period closes.
I think it just had to be available to be watched. And that's their whole thing. But only Downton Abbey showed up on broadcast television, and that was on PBS. Outstanding comedy series, the nominee is The Big Bang Theory on CBS.
Oh, that's fun.
Eh.
Girls on HBO.
Girls.
Louie on FX.
Never watched that. Oh, Louie, that's a good show too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Modern Family on ABC.
Oh, it's so over.
30 Rock on NBC.
Good, but I wish the slot had gone to Parks and Recs, because I don't think anyone's going to vote for it since it's off the air.
And Veep on HBO, which is one of the more clever comedies out there.
I feel like like that list was from like 2 years ago.
That's pretty much Emmy standard, I think.
Yeah, isn't
just a lot of that stuff
30 Rock done?
This was for the final season of 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
But like, I mean, I don't know. I'm still many seasons behind on the Big Bang Theory, but is it like breaking ground compared to what else is out there?
And neither is Modern Family.
And Modern Family. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are much more traditional sitcoms.
Yeah.
All of the dramas were there were one or two that I haven't seen, but most of them are things that I love. There are many comedies I watch. None of them are represented there at all, which surprises me. I mean, I've seen 30 Rock, of course, but I mean, I've watched it. I watched this season, but the comedies that really have my heart are not on there at all.
Arrested Development was super snubbed from a lot of categories.
Well, maybe that's because it's not that good.
Has Parks and Rec ever been nominated?
Not for best series. There have been actors
and like Golden Globes.
Yeah,
more in Golden Globes than in Emmys. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series: Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's a good.
Hugh Bonneville for Downton Abbey. Damian Lewis for Homeland.
Wait, which one is he in Downton Abbey?
The dad.
Oh,
he's Robert Earl of Grantham.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Kevin Spacey for House of Cards.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's good.
I'm both scared of him, but I would sleep with him.
He's fantastic. John Hamm for Mad Men.
Yeah,
and Jeff Daniels for The Newsroom.
Yeah.
And I love the first season of The Newsroom. We're now three episodes into the second season. I've only seen two of them. I'm not as into The Newsroom this year as I was last year. And I asked on Facebook, and apparently I'm not the only one. And I don't know whether it was because it was just so different last year, and now it's sort of the same sort of thing, and they're getting more into the personal relationships as opposed to the actual newsroom struggle to get the ideas out there. I don't know why. It's just not ringing as true to me. But again, all cable and Netflix except for PBS and Downton Abbey. Outstanding lead actress drama series, Vera Farmiga for Bates Motel on
A&E. I really want to watch because it looks really interesting. It has good reviews.
Michelle Dockery for Downton Abbey, Claire Danes for Homeland, Robin Wright for House of Cards. She's fantastic
really
in that. Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men.
Oh, I love her. Peggy.
Zoe Bartlett forever.
Connie Britton for Nashville, which is on ABC.
Good show, but the other girl should have got the nomination.
Hayden Panettiere is, I know, and I hate to say it because Connie Britton is fantastic and I love her Tammy Taylor
better.
For life, but Hayden is stealing that show.
She got robbed.
She's
super
so
robbed.
Good.
And finally, Kerry Washington for Scandal.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Now to the comedy lead actor, unsnub yourself, Jason Bateman for Arrested Development.
Yay.
Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory.
Always cute.
One of my favorite shows, Matt LeBlanc, is nominated for the show Episodes. It's on Showtime. It's fantastic. He plays Matt LeBlanc, and it's just so good. Don Cheadle, nominated in House of Lies, which I don't watch. Louis C.K., nominated for Louis. Alec Baldwin got another nomination for 30 Rock.
Always a classic.
Lead actress in a comedy series. Laura Dern in Enlightened, which I don't watch.
It's one of those, I'm going to put that in the same category with Nurse Jackie, where it's like, it's got a lot of funny lines, but I don't know that it's a comedy.
Girls, Lena Dunham nominated for Girls. Girls is that show that I watch because everybody says it's really good, and I keep waiting for myself to like it because it's really good, and I don't find anything bad about it, but I also don't find myself really that interested. And I thank God that it's only 20 minutes or 22 minutes. So I'm like, if I had to spend an hour with this, I would be like, no. Edie Falco nominated again for Nurse Jackie.
Not a comedy. Should be in that category.
Not a comedy at all. It's 30 minutes long. It is not a comedy. It's a drama, and it's a pretty good drama. Amy Poehler was nominated for Parks and Rec.
Yay!
Wow.
Tina Fey was nominated for 30 Rock.
I love her, but it's Amy's year.
And the person who should win, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get on board with you on that.
She's fantastic. Have you seen?
I've seen Veep. I have not seen this season of Veep, so I should, you know, apples to apples, should see this season and compare it to.
Yeah,
Amy
she's
Poehler, but
she's really really good.
But Emmy voters love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, so she probably is the odds-on favorite. They love her.
Let's go through and find a few more here. Outstanding variety series. Pick your favorite: The Colbert Report, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Yay.
Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, Real Time with Bill Maher, and Saturday Night Live.
Daily Show.
Daily Show.
I still like Daily Show better than Colbert.
I do too. I think the one who was left out of this that I think was a real snub is Craig Ferguson, because I think that's one of the most fantastic shows on late night.
What about Conan?
No, Conan's not good. No, his show isn't that good. It has moments here and there. I don't really like it that much. If I have to pick one from here that I like a lot of these shows. I think Jimmy Kimmel Live is a really, really good show. It just got moved to 11:30, and he probably won't win, but that's okay. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Bobby Cannavale from Boardwalk Empire, Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad, Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, Jim Carter from Downton Abbey, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones.
Ooh. He's so good.
Oh, yeah,
Peter Dinklage versus Aaron Paul. How can I decide?
Mandy Patinkin for Homeland. And Mandy Patinkin is really good in everything that he does. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad. Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey. This is starting to seem like repeats, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amelia Clark from Game of Thrones.
Love her.
Christine Baranski from The Good Wife.
She's superb also.
Morena Baccarin from Homeland.
Inara for life.
And Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
She's also pretty fantastic. Two alumna of Firefly nominated.
Ooh.
So, somehow Team nice. Joss Whedon. Go.
Nice geek creds going there.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
There's a lot of stuff. So they just keep going. The nominations keep going.
They nominate a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there are a ton of nominations. I'm just quickly scrolling through here to see.
Can I share what, like, legit is the category I most care about this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Reality show host, because Kat Deely is so overdue for a win. She's amazing. She is, like, the reason I watch So You Think You Can Dance, because she's a really good hostess, and she should get awarded. And it's always stupid Jeff Probst.
Stupid
or,
Jeff Probst.
You know, some other dumb person. But Kat Deely is fantastic, and she should be recognized. And it may seem like a throwaway category, but it's important.
Now, here's the one that I think Ted probably is most interested in. Outstanding Ooh. Single camera picture editing for a comedy series.
Oh, my God. Big Bang Theory's got to be on that list.
No, that is a multi-camera. That's nominated in the multi-camera editing category. The nominees are Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
Louie.
Oh, yeah.
Modern Family.
Okay.
The Office.
Yeah, all right.
And 30 Rock.
Okay.
Those are all single.
Do they do this by episode or the whole season?
Yes, they're by episode.
Doesn't Park and Rec does that too?
But they were not nominated.
I know, but that is an insult to society.
Well, it's busy, yeah.
It's un-American is what I'm saying.
Here are the multi-camera picture editing. We're going to go deep here for a second. Okay. How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
Conan.
Oh.
The Colbert Report. The Big Bang Theory. Oh, and man. Lest you think it was left out, Hot in Cleveland.
I like that. I feel like they were, you know, talking to themselves and decided they couldn't just nominate the higher profile multicam because it would just be a CBS category.
Yeah, because they're pretty much the only ones who are doing a lot of multicam stuff. Unless you're counting like the talk shows. The talk
How
shows
I
are
bet
all
your
multicam.
Mother should probably get that because they do like their story. Their narratives are largely built on editing and stuff. God, I love television.
How about your mother?
You know what? I love television.
How I Met Your Mother.
Okay, sorry.
Here's what Becca was just doing.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
It's like, I love television. Actually, we're talking about a lot of my very favorite shows, and I'm still super bored. And I'm sorry, because I'm never bored with the podcast, but I was ready for this conversation to be done like 5 minutes ago. I can't care about these shows.
Didn't you hear about the cameras?
No, I was asleep by then.
I always like the writing categories, because when they do the best variety show writing, it gives me an opportunity to get feminist mad about the lack of female writers in most comedy.
And if there's one thing we know about you, it's you never pass up an opportunity to get mad.
Right, I just thought that might be a hook to, you know, to bring Becca back in.
No, well, I'm also uncomfortable with being mad. I am feminist, things upset me, I'm just kind of like,
From my literal perspective right now, I know something's coming that's going to at least make Ted wish we continue talking about television, even if it bothers Becca, because Ted's ire over the last segment is going to be so high
Well, don't spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it.
Let just, people figure it out.
Up next, Peg gets mad.
It's a teaser.
That's coming.
Later in the show.
Is this something about Gordy Little?
But first, it's time
crap.
For...
Oh, crap. What? Is he on the link?
It's time for Florida Corner.
If you're going to play Sacramento song while we listen
right
to Gordy Little,
said,
I'm
oh,
leaving.
Right as you said, oh, crap, I read the name of a 30 Rock episode that was nominated. It was Hog Cock, and it was really funny.
There you go.
Hog Cock.
Ha.
It's funny to me.
Ha. You had to be there. Well, I mean, we were there.
Hot cock is, I think, objectively
hot
funny.
Cock.
Let's start. It let's start with an upset Florida man. He was upset because Walgreens doesn't sell his favorite beverage. He was arrested after reports that he rearranged merchandise and called an employee a female dog in absentia.
Wait, he rearranged merchandise? Is that a like nice way of saying that he knocked a bunch of stuff over? Or
no. A boisterous beverage brouhaha began before 3:05 a.m.
Nice alliteration.
At the Walgreens on July 4th. Happy Independence Day, everybody. The manager told Fort Pierce police he saw Richard Lloyd, 60, causing a disturbance with a worker. The manager said he tried to speak with Lloyd and that Lloyd informed him that he was angry because the business doesn't sell his favorite liquid refreshment. This is what you need to sell. Lloyd is quoted as starting to yell as he presented a bottle of soda. I want my money back.
What?
Lloyd approached the manager demanding a refund for a beverage he did not buy.
That doesn't make... All right.
His favorite beverage was not identified.
That's what we really want to know.
Oh, come on. That's, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yoo-hoo? Was it Yoo-hoo?
I don't know. This is a Florida journalist, Ted. I can't help you.
Ugh.
Meanwhile, the cashier said Lloyd was yelling profanity toward an employee who wasn't there. Althea is a parenthetical female dog, close parenthetical. I'm sure he's saying bitch.
Oh.
Anyway, the cashier also said Lloyd took items from shelves and moved them across the store. The cashier asked him to stop, but he continued ferrying stuff around. Police told Lloyd he was going to leave, to which he responded, sexual intercourse you, male masturbation, sexual
really?
Intercourse make me.
All right, what
why
is male
carry the story if you have to go to that level?
Let me translate. Yeah. Fuck you, you jerk off.
Oh,
fuck you, make me.
Oh, jerk off, thank you.
Yeah, male masturbation, jerk
yeah,
off.
All right. Like,
what else would it be?
Monkey slapper? I don't know.
It could have been
a dolphin waxer.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
So, yeah, well, when at 3:05 a.m. there's a 60-year-old man moving stuff around your store, you do what you got to do.
Why?
But it's not just the men who had things to do in Florida. No, no, no.
Never is.
Let's go to Volusia County, Florida. The quote, I thought she was planned, a flabbergasted man told deputies after watching a woman drive away in his tow truck Wednesday morning. He had responded to help the woman when her rental car broke down on I-95. She asked if she could take his yellow flatbed truck to New York, and the driver, thinking she was joking, said sure. But then he followed up with a serious no. Nonetheless, when he turned his back to her, Angela Estrella jumped into the driver's seat and sped away northbound, allegedly without his permission. The record company tracked the vehicle's GPS, though, and she was found at a gas station in Palm Coast, Florida, where she was arrested, charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle. Now, this incident started about 9:30 a.m. A deputy spotted the disabled vehicle on a mile marker on I-95. He pulled over, checked on her, radioed in a request for a tow truck. Everything seemed okay, so he left. A few minutes later, the wrecker came, and as he spoke with the woman, she asked if he could take her to New York. He said he couldn't do that. He couldn't go that far. Next, she asked if she could take his truck. He didn't take her seriously, said sure. She responded, really? The 46-year-old driver allegedly told her no, then used his cell phone to call the rental company that owned the broken-down vehicle. When he turned his back, she got into the wrecker, drove away, nearly sideswiping a semi-truck.
Oh, good. I like that. Allegedly. Everything else was for sure, but the no was the alleged part.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, a year ago, she was caught on a Florida Highway Patrol trooper's dash cam video during high-speed chase with children inside her vehicle.
Okay.
That's from last year.
I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but when I look at the picture first, she has this like kind of insane look in her eyes and this smile. So I don't
crazy
know.
Eyes.
Crazy eyes. She has crazy eyes.
A little bit crazy hair. She
yeah.
she had to
I love crazy eyes.
She is the best.
She had to go to New York.
Oh man.
Mm.
Ted, now I know you love Fox News.
I'm not the biggest fan, like is probably a better word. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
Crack.com came out with one of their blogs. It's titled Four Dangerously Influential Dimwits.
Oh, hope Danny McCarthy's not on the list.
I don't know.
She would be on the list.
Number four, Sylvia Brown. She's a world-renowned fake psychic and perennial runner-up in the Ogress Beauty Pageants, according to this article.
Yikes.
She's had a lurid, long career of stringent bullshit, foul deception, and money-grubbing assholery. See, now that's writing, people. Many have tried to expose her fraudulent ways, but those who want to believe her hold fast to their ignorance in a way that is both aggravating and sad. Like a dog that refuses to stop eating poop, they consume what she tosses out like it's delicious, cruddy ambrosia.
Oh, you can say that about any Fox newscaster.
So, yeah.
Oh, hey.
Here's some of the things she has predicted. She predicted the MS would be cured in 2012, the common cold would be cured in 2010, Obama would not be reelected, there would be a tsunami in Florida this fall, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie will break up. She's predicted that for four straight years. There are lots of lists of her failed predictions to peruse, but that's harmless, right? Well, not necessarily.
But what has she gotten right? That's really the question. Why? I mean,
yeah. Basically,
harp on the bad.
The thing that the writer takes real issue with is she gives false hopes to families who are searching for missing people.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that is kind of
okay,
shitty.
Maybe she's not the best person in the world.
No, she's not. Jenny McCarthy only comes in at number three.
Ah.
You know, it'll probably go up next year once she's on The View. She got famous for showing her tits and making farting sounds, which is how I wanted to get famous, but failed miserably. So maybe this entry is tainted with jealousy. So, yeah, that's
Felix,
what
Felix Clay wants to have big boobs and fart sounds. Got it.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
All right.
McCarthy currently champions the anti-vaccine movement. After her son was diagnosed with autism, she went on a crusade to educate others about the link between vaccines and autism. To save you the time of reading up on it, there's no actual link between vaccines and autism.
Yeah, her problem is not that she got famous for being like a centerfold type. Her problem is that she
that's true
peddled bad right science and didn't recant.
I think you're right. She's just a comedian,
and he points to
not
the
just. I mean, she could be if she wanted to advocate for something that was accurate. She could go nuts.
Yeah, and
the
you,
problem is what she decided.
Oh,
to
no, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
for
her past, like she's a comedian. That's
right.
Like that's fine.
She's a Playboy playmate. She's that's not really a comedian.
Okay.
She was a game show. She was the Vanna White of Singled Out.
I remember that show, yes.
So it points to the anti-vaccine body count website that you referred to a few weeks ago. And here's what the numbers told. The number of preventable illnesses from June 3rd, 2007 to July 13th, 2013, 118,794 preventable illnesses. Number of preventable deaths in that same time period, 1,171. Number of autism diagnoses that are scientifically linked to vaccines, none.
All right. That's
what Jenny McCarthy is partially responsible for.
Case closed.
Number two, Tom Cruise.
He sells influence on people?
He's publicly stated there's no such thing as
antidepressants and psychology.
Yeah, no such things as chemical imbalances in the human body, that psychiatry is pseudoscience. There's an abundance of evidence that psychiatry and medications like antidepressants do work. However, that it's borderline insane to even start a debate on the subject. Questioning their efficacy is like questioning Lindsay Lohan's acting skills.
But isn't he just parroting? I mean, is he like, people think him as the face for Scientology? Is that what's going on?
It is,
but he took on Brooke Shields after she came out with a book because she had debilitating postpartum depression.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, I think he called her basically weak
for
turning to, you know, medicine and shit. She took some exception to that.
Yeah, she fought back.
So,
and good for her.
Yeah.
I was curious how influential he actually is really what
well,
I'm wondering. Like, Jenny McCarthy obviously had an impact. I'm wondering if he...
Well, the influence is the fact that when he says something, it reaches millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's really the impact. The article also says Scientologists have managed to weasel into grade schools, deliver anti-drug programs filled with all manners of cockamamie lies and information for kids, like how dependency sets in on your first dose of a drug and how it will be stored in your body fat and will come back to haunt you weeks or even years later, like some kind of crazy antidepressant flashback. And number one for dangerous crackpots, political policymakers.
You
can't come up with a fifth one. Just make it a list of four.
It was a list of four.
It is a list
I think
of four.
The problem was they needed three, a fourth one. Three's too short. Like, okay.
Well, to go to their point, the people
there's
that are,
like a million charlatans out there.
It's true, but these people are making policy that affects everybody. You can choose not to believe in Sylvia Brown or listen to Tom Cruise, but you're impacted by what Congress does.
Well, but then you can just say religious leaders, number two, instead of Tom Cruise. But anyway.
You could have said that.
I could have.
But that's not the list. So.
Corporate America, number three. All right.
Yeah, damn you, corporate America. Except for you, Amazon. Amazon, we love you. And
they're hiring a bunch of people. 7,000
people nationwide, including their new distribution facility in Tracy.
I hope they have nicer facilities than what I've read about. Anyway, love you, Amazon. Woo!
They actually pay higher than most warehouse jobs. They kick in for, I read an article about it today, they're kicking in for tuition reimbursement, even if your degree has nothing to do with your job at Amazon.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Maybe they're making some changes.
It's just going to hurt. That's all. You're just going to be in physical pain from the
You're working in a warehouse.
But apparently Zappos, they do it, and it's, everyone's happy there. Their pickers are happier.
Well, because all they're picking up is a fucking pair of shoes. Jesus. At Amazon,
Zappos could do it.
At Amazon, they'll deliver a refrigerator to you.
Which one
refrigerator. Exactly. Like, yeah. So they're not just bringing you a fucking box of pumps, for God's sake. How dare you? How dare you besmirch the good name of Amazon.com?
Zappos is an Amazon company.
Through NateDarlingShow.com.
I was kind of praising them also.
Okay.
Okay.
But we don't have anything from Zappos.
Come on, let's get to Ted's favorite.
Why are you torturing me?
Oh, yeah, wait, hold on. It's time for this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. It's that time bad. For small town news.
Speak out. Woo!
It's titled Younger Generation Discovering Typewriters.
Discovering what?
Typewriters.
God, no one... Shut up! No one's discovering typewriters.
It's true. Hunt and peck. It applies if you have to search the keyboard for a letter or number before typing. I suppose it was the way Englishman Henry Mill typed after he invented what could have been the first typewriter in 1714. It wasn't until the modern configuration came about in the mid-19th century that Christopher Sholes introduced the so-called QWERTY layout.
Wait a second. Is this Gordy Little talking?
Yes, it is.
Who else would it be?
Because Gordy Little always sounds like he's just doing Wikipedia. Like, he picks a noun, and then he just Wikipedias the crap out of it.
Think he knows how to use Wikipedia?
The phrase hunt and peck didn't appear in print until the early 20th century.
There's a pointless fact for you.
I learned my touch typing in Moira High School. Which you'll remember, Moira is one of the towns from last show's Small Town News.
Oh.
Aha.
Is it near Chateau Gay?
It is near Chateau Gay. Okay. It's near Chateau Gay. Brushton, Moira, and Chateau Gay. My teacher was a stickler for perfection and taught from a hard-covered red instruction book, wider than it was tall. I've seen copies in museums. I practiced diligently. I had already been typing on my dad's 1920s portable since early childhood. I seem to recall getting a 98 on the typing final. I think I cheated while attempting to erase a mistake. I was found out and severely punished with a 2-point deduction. It wasn't long before my fat fingers failed to fly over the keys in the prescribed manner, and I gradually adopted the little method. You want to know what the little method is,
no,
don't
I'm
you?
I'm adopting Becca's Emmy stance towards this.
This frame. Is actually more interesting to me than the Emmy discussion.
Yeah.
Seriously?
The little method?
No. By the end. It sounds the beginning like of the Emmy discussion was interesting, but then after a while, like if you haven't seen any of the shows, it's just, you're just sitting there.
It's like the rhythm method? Is that what the little method is?
Well, it involves far fewer fingers, a total of 8. Hey, okay. It works.
Okay.
Why am I writing about this?
That is what we want to know. Well, every column should start with that.
Well, 2 reasons. First, I cannot lay my hands on that beautifully restored old portable in the 1920s that I had stored in my garage. Second, the typewriter is making a massive, well, moderate comeback.
Wait, that's not a reason to write about these things.
When computers gained widespread popularity in the late 80s, typewriter use declined quickly. I was able to purchase a refurbished IBM 286 computers from Clarkson for $50 a piece, and they revolutionized the speed with which I could type for news for radio with far fewer mistakes. Now young people are discovering the novelty of typewriters and are scarfing them up in record numbers. They say they like the visual effect of hearing that loud... Wait a minute. This is the sentence. They say they like the visual effect of hearing that loud click and snap as the key is struck. That okay. is not a visual effect, Gordy.
Yeah.
They revel in the fact that they can see the letter and symbol or number instantly imprinted on the paper. They're happy to have no delete.
Where does he get this from? What is he talking about?
They're less distracted than with their other modern devices and must actually think about what they want to write before typing it. High schools and colleges are jumping back onto the bandwagon, arguing the advantages of the typewriter. Repair shops are cropping up across the nation, and those that opened in the 20s, barely scraped by in the 90s, are now thriving.
Right, okay, wait a second. What high school or college is
is
teaching people to use a typewriter.
There's no sources here. Cite your sources.
Sales on the internet have burgeoned once again. I don't see new ones being produced, but lots of old ones are coming out of mothballs to be refurbished and sold.
You are lying.
Typewriters are basically simple machines and rather easy to maintain. Repair people have stocks of old ones strictly for parts. When a roller gets flattened over time, a like new one can be snapped into place almost instantly. Jam keys can be straightened or replaced. New ribbons are readily found. We're moving on. Carbon paper sales are bigger than ever, since many law offices say they have forms that can be filled out only on typewriters, and it's easy to make instant copies.
No, I feel like this just can't be true. Like, no one is making new typewriters, but typewriter ribbon is easily found. How could that be?
Well, they're making typewriter ribbon, or they're inking it. I don't know. Then there's one of my all-time favorite songs, simply entitled The Typewriter, finished by Leroy Anderson in the October of 1950 and recorded for Decca Records in September of 1953. I have a copy here on an old 78 RPM disc. It's short. It's just a minute and 45 seconds long. I actually wish I had that,
Instead
but I don't.
Listening to what was going on then, I made this picture for Becca.
Okay,
with a squid and a cheetah and some stamps.
I'm on
That's
eBay
cool.
right now.
How'd you do that?
I'm on eBay.
I got an app for that.
44 typewriters for sale. No bids, no bids, no bids. No one's fucking buying typewriters, Gordy Little.
So how much are they? It might be kind of fun to have a typewriter.
See, it's working.
Well, there's one for $59.
That's too much.
I don't have that kind of money.
There's one for starting at 99 cents.
There you go. That's a start.
That's very small, though.
How big a typewriter do you need?
I don't get this one.
So let's wrap this. So if you also have an ancient typewriter like mine, or even a more scientific Selectric, drag it out and start pounding the keys. Perhaps we should alert the medical community that a whole new rash of carpal tunnel complaints are on the way.
You have no idea what happens in this world. You are in your own little bubble.
You should type that and mail it to Gordy and Kay.
Oh, my God.
Have a great day. Go type a masterpiece, and please drive carefully.
Damn, I'm almost as mad as this I was about the Muslim Christian thing. He's not being a responsible journalist.
I'm gonna fuck you up!
He probably has a typewriter he wants to sell on eBay, and that's why he's trying to talk about
it. Oh, I don't know about that.
No, it's all right. That's not fair. Sorry, Gordon.
Could be.
I did
don't
some
blame the man
be.
For loving the clickety clack. Yeah. Oh, my God. I had a premonition the way over here. I was like, I want to end the show with that song because it's so good. It's so kind of rapey, but it's so catchy. You know?
That's what I was going for. Rapey, but catchy.
Oh, it's this song.
Yeah.
It's got a good
I've
hook.
Never actually heard the original one. I've only heard the, like, gender swap one that was going around.
Oh, I see. I haven't.
There's a burlesque troupe in Seattle, and they re-recorded it with women singing to men and men dancing around in thongs and high heels in the...
How can you think that people don't think when they're using a computer, but they will with a typewriter?
Oh, wait, I mean,
what is he talking about?
Because when the keys jam, they have a lot of time to go like, what the fuck was I doing?
Basically, his thought process is this. When you're on a computer, you make a mistake, you hit backspace a couple times, you're good. On a typewriter, it's not that easy to fix your mistake.
You have to find the whiteout.
You have to make sure you know what you're
going
to say.
Bullshit. You get a free stream of thought going when you're typing on a computer. You don't have to worry about that shit. All right. Fine, I'm done.
You know you want it, and by it, I mean this article
typewriter
to be
fall on
read
his head.
To you.
No, that's not nice. I don't want any harm to come of him. I'm sorry. I feel mean now.
He's a nice old fellow. He means well.
He made up the whole middle part. It's one thing to say, I love typewriters. It's another thing to say, high schools and colleges and kids across America are embracing them and using them like crazy, and they love it.
They probably are in, like, Portland or something stupid.
Well, yeah, but he's not in Portland.
No, he's in Plattsburgh, New York. He's in a small town. And thus it's in the newspaper.
Can I speak out about Gordy Little? Do you think he would publish that? I don't think Gordy Little knows what he's talking about with typewriters.
I don't think that would go well. He's a local institution.
Oh, you're right. And I actually really like him. He wrote about popcorn that time.
Yeah, around
Christmas.
I felt
like we were on the same wavelength.
Yep.
What if we start sending Speak Out pieces to other newspapers that maybe don't have a Speak Out thing? Like to encourage them.
You should send notes.
Hashtag speak out.
Yeah, send it to the SACB and go, hey, man, here's what you need.
You need this. You need this. Your comment section isn't enough of that. Like the comment section today that took to task the 13-year-old girl for dying from eating a peanut. Which I thought was great because it's her fault.
Yeah,
and if you think this means I'm going to stop sending my child to school with peanut treats, well, I am not going to stop doing that.
Oh, yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yep.
Freedom to have peanut treats.
To be fair, what are the odds another kid's going to drop dead from a peanut thing?
It's pretty high, actually. Not that high. High enough that you should worry about it? I don't know.
Okay, sorry, Nate. Like,
yes, yes. What you should do is give them all a peanut butter noogie. Go in with a jar of peanut butter and just smear it all over their faces. They were having a debate on the Today Show about how hard it was to get peanut butter out of the bottom of a jar. I swear to God, I turned it on.
Which hour?
What was the debate about that subject?
How do you get the third hour?
It's played after Regis and Kelly. What you don't get here in Sacramento is the fourth hour with Kelly, Kathy Lee, and Hoda.
Which is the good one.
So anyway, yeah, so Al Roker is, he's indignant. He's Ted-like in his anger.
Wait, what?
Look, I can get it out of the peanut butter jar because they have these new jars they've designed that you turn the bottom and it rises up like deodorant.
Oh, poor Jesus, seems like I bet it leaks or something.
Kind of pointless, yeah.
Wow, so. This was your bonus content this week, listeners.
Yeah.
Extra hour.
Yeah, well, Robin Thicke's singing, and we had a long song.
You wanted this extra.
Mm-hmm. You wanted it.
You asked
for it. Hey, everybody, have a good weekend. Grab a typewriter, bang out a note to Ted.
Oh.
However you like. Email the show if you want. It's NateDarlingShow@rocketmail.com.
Not Hotmail.
Everybody have a sweet weekend. We will see you next week with more fun and more shenanigans. Until then, bye bye.
Bye.
The way you grab me must want to get nasty.